Good morning.
Good morning.
Truly glad to be here and thankful for all of God's provision, for His mercies, for everything that He has done for us. Sometimes it's hard for me to speak after singing some of the songs that we sing, especially whenever that they remind me of the freedom that I have and who paid the price. It's awfully hard sometimes to imagine what a lot of our forefathers went through in order to give us this freedom that we have today. And I don't say that today to try to lay a guilt trip on anybody, but you know, we are thankful unto God today that we can assemble together and that we can come together. I grew up hearing the stories from my father of what it was like to serve in the South Pacific during World War II. And you know, I looked at all of that, read the battles that took place, the area that he was in, and you know, I thought he put his life on the line, as did many others, for this opportunity that we have today. Some went and came back. Some went and didn't come back. But we're truly thankful. And I pray today, and I speak on my part for this, that I do with that freedom whatever God wants me to do. That I take advantage of that opportunity that has been blood-bought on fields of battle and other places. A friend of mine, or actually my cousin, sent some pictures I didn't even know existed. And one of them was my father's uncle, Uncle Roy Cofer. I always heard him talk about Uncle Roy when I'd go to reunions and everything with him. Now, Paul, go over there and shake hands with Uncle Roy, or go over there and talk to him. Well, Uncle Roy was kind of a patriarch, so to speak, and he served in World War I. And my dad would tell stories about when he was young, in about 1918, that the only news they got was from an Atwater Kent. You know what an Atwater Kent is? It's a precursor to our phones and podcasts. But also, they went to the Bijou or to the theater, and they would get the news of the day, what was going on in our country, and most importantly of all, what was going on in Europe during that time. And he said, I can remember, he said, just barely, but remember sitting there and trying to take this all in. And he said, the relative that was with me would say, now, Georgie, they called him Georgie. Now, Georgie, that's where your Uncle Roy is right now. And he said, I could not conceive of that even. But he said later, he said, I grew to appreciate what he had done. Now, my family's no more under the grace of God than anybody else. You've got friends, you've got relatives, people in your family that served overseas or served in this country. And you know, it goes without saying that whenever that we sing those songs, we sing the Star Spangled Banner, you can ask my wife, I can hardly get through it. Or whenever that I say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, I can't hardly get the words out. Not that I'm ungrateful, but it's that I'm grateful and I'm thankful that I have this privilege. And I count it a privilege to be here with you today. And I want you to know I love every one of you. I truly do. You have a special place, and you will always have a special place in my heart. No matter where I go, no matter how long my life, you'll always be very near and dear to me. We've got a season coming up that sometimes is bypassed. It just gets kind of, you know, kind of shoved by the wayside, and we don't think about it too much because we know that the next holiday, we've got to be prepared for it. We've got to get decorations up. We got to get gifts bought. We got to make arrangements for relatives to come. We got to fight traffic. We've got to fight other shoppers, and so on and so forth. And I hope when you go shopping, you don't lose your religion. But I do want to say today that this is kind of a precursor to that season that we observe, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And I think it's fitting, knowing what we know now, that we have the opportunity to thank God for every one of His blessings. Every one. And there's no blessing today that is minute, that is small. Even the very breath that we breathe is a blessing from God. The brainwave, the heart wave, the heart beating, the chambers just so synchronized. You know, when you look at it, that didn't happen by accident. God put it all in place. And I'd like to read some scripture that was one of the first scriptures that I was ever taught and that I ever heard. And believe it or not, it was in school. They actually made us memorize this, the Pledge of Allegiance, and also some songs, the Star-Spangled Banner, and America the Beautiful. But if you have your Bible with you today, we ask that you turn with us to the 100th Psalm, Psalm 100. This is a psalm, of course, by David. Now, whenever that the Levites no longer carried the ark and they carried the tabernacle around, he made them into, if you will, a choir. And he wrote psalms for them. And these Levites would sing these songs. Now, it sounds different. It would sound different than the songs we sing today because it sounded more like a big recitation. They would all be in unison. They would all be together. And they were always songs about David's trials, David's heartaches, David's loneliness, David's depression. But always he pursued after God's own heart. And we want to read from this verse of scripture that's found in the 100th Psalm. And starting with the first verse, he says these words, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. So enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good." I want you to pay attention to that verse right there. The Lord is good. He's not good part of the time. He's not good one-fourth of the time. He's good all the time. There is no evil with our God today. "For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth unto all generations." If correctly read, this includes the entire 100th Psalm, verses 1 through 5. Our thought will come from the fourth verse, where that he says, when we enter into his gates, we enter in with thanksgiving. And when we enter into his courts, we enter in with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless His holy name. Whenever that we read this today, whenever that we think and meditate upon it, we think about the vastness of God. I cannot even begin to tell you today of how big and how mighty and how wise that Almighty God is. Even traveling up here today, when I look upon the creation, and I think to myself, Lord God, this did not happen by accident. You had this in mind from the very beginning. You made all things good according to your purpose and unto your will. And I want, Lord, to praise your great and holy name with a joyful noise. Now that word joyful noise comes from a word that means something that will break the hearing, or in other words, will crack the ears. And I know I've been to some concerts where that sitting way up where I was, boy, there were guitarists that could sure do it. They could break your hearing. And whenever that you walked away, it was like, huh? 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 But you know, whenever that we fill ourselves with the praise of God, it also breaks our ears. It breaks our ears from the things that are being said all around us, done all around us. It helps, with God's help, to drown out the craziness, pardon my expression there, but the craziness and the insanity of the times that we live in. And I want you to know that we need to have that from God. I mean, whenever that you listen to a gospel song, you crank that thing up. I use the common vernacular, but you crank that thing up. And I know your neighbors might knock on your door or call you up, but I want you to know it helps to break not just the silence. It not only is a witness, but it gets us to thinking upon God. That's what praise does. A joyful noise unto Him. Praising Him for what? Praising Him for the fact that He is, and that He is now, and He will forevermore, He more forevermore shall be. The Bible tells us over in one place in the 95th Psalm, this same era, He said, "Come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." I want to tell you, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as the rock of your salvation, as we've said before, this altar is always, always open. But you know, it's not the place of an altar. It's not the position of the body. I saw an interesting thing that was posted on a website that was for Muslims and Christians to kind of get together and to try to reconcile some things. You know, reconcile their differences. And they one said that Moses, and it showed a depiction of Moses bowing, said Moses prayed like this when he bowed before Allah. And they said Abraham prayed like this when he bowed before Allah. And Daniel prayed like this when he bowed before Allah. And Christ prayed like this when he bowed before Allah. But you know, I have to disagree with that today. I have to tell you today that it's not Allah, it's the Lord God, the God of Abraham, that we come before, that we praise, that we give honor to. And it's true, it's not the position of the body whenever that we seek His face, whether for salvation or for to know His will, but it's a position of the heart. Because you see, it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's with the mouth that God is extolled unto His salvation, or because of His salvation. But that praise, God is worthy of today. Did you know that in the beginning, whenever that all the generations of Adam began to come and they came along, there was some of them that was that what they were talented with. They were talented with music. And that music was used to honor God. That music was used to give praise unto Him. Do you know today that God inhabits the praise of His people? When you sing praise unto God with all of your heart, from your heart, God is in the midst of it. And how many times have we been alone, and all of a sudden amazing grace comes to our mind, and we begin to sing it, and we feel the presence of God. There have been times whenever I've listened to a CD of "I'll Fly Away," and I thought I was. And I'd have to pull the car over. And one time I did, and I got down, not with my face to the ground. I got down on my knees. I don't care about the traffic, what they saw. But I thanked God for His salvation. I thank God that He reveals Himself unto man. I thank God that He gives me a hunger and a thirst after the righteousness of God. And I sing praise unto Him for that. And I want you to know, when you sit down at a meal, and you sit down and whoever carves a turkey or whatever the case might be, just take a moment. That's all sometimes God asks for. Take a moment and thank Him for every blessing that you have. Don't sit there and look at your water glass and say, well, Aunt Maud filled it up halfway, and you know, she knows that I drink a lot of water. No, don't complain. Don't complain about it. That's not what God gets in His ears all the time, complaints from people. But you know what He's looking for? He's looking for praise from the heart. He's looking for a glorification of His name. Now, I want to tell you that in the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah, the Bible tells us that Isaiah was caught up into the very presence of God. Can you imagine that today? There's only one other person that's ever been caught up to stand before the Almighty, and that was the Apostle Paul. But Isaiah stood before, he said, the throne, and he said, there was God upon His throne. And he said, there were cherubims that were giving praise unto Him, and they called unto one another, and they called in unison, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Why did they say holy three times? God the Father is holy. God the Son is holy. And God the Holy Spirit is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. I'm thankful to God today for His eternalness, that He is from everlasting into everlasting. People have said, where did God come from? I don't know. I cannot relegate that I was born on February the 13th, 19. But I want you to know God has always been. He's always been. And I want you to know He does not cease. And my friend, His attributes are from everlasting unto everlasting. God is holy today. Did you know that? Why, the cherubims talk about it. They sing the praises. Right now, if you could call it time in the eternity where that God is, they're singing at this very moment. Do you know one day the saved of earth is going to witness that? We're going to see what Isaiah saw. We're going to see what John saw. My friend, and who knows, we might even join in the chorus with them, because we'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, whenever that the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And we'll sing praise in a perfect way. I want to tell you, Brother Ron, I won't have hoarseness whenever that I sing. I won't have to carry a Hall's cough drop. Whenever that I join into that chorus, I want to tell you, I'll give Him the praise that I've always wanted to give Him, but I was somehow impaired by this flesh and by all the problems that I have with my voice and with my mind. But oh, it'll be glorious whenever that we give thanks unto Him. Thank You, O God, for being with me. Thank You, O God, for watching over me. Thank You, O God, for Your goodness. Thank You, O God, for Your mercy. Now, we think in this day and time, as we look at the situation over in the Middle East, and I don't know how that's going to come out, but I want to tell you something. God has used that little tiny nation, that people, as His timepiece today of measuring, my friend, time, the time of man, what man, His allotted time upon this world is. But I want you to know God is merciful. God is not all the time a God of war, but it says His mercy endureth forever. Forever. And I want you to know another thing today. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God does not hate the sinner. My friend, there's no greater love that was expressed than His Son dying upon the cross of Calvary, tasting of death for every one of us, shedding His blood that we might be atoned and might be reconciled unto God. God is also gracious. Do you know the difference between mercy and grace? Which God is the author of both. But mercy is us not receiving what we deserve. Amen? Boy, people used to come up to Judge Wapner on TV and say, "I want justice. I want justice." And I always thought to myself when they said that, "No, you don't want justice. No, can you understand what you're saying there?" My friend, I want you to know, Paul Kofer, if he'd gotten what he deserved and what was due unto him, I would be in hell right now. Because that's where I was going whenever that God saved my soul. But my friend, mercy is God not giving to us what we deserve. But then grace is us receiving, is receiving what we do not deserve. It's receiving the goodness of God. And one place over in the scriptures, it says that grace and mercy are met together. Grace and mercy kissed each other. Where did they do it at? At Calvary. Someone say, "I knew, preacher, you were going to get to the cross, to Calvary, the empty tomb. I don't know of anything else to preach. I don't know of anything else to declare unto people today of the goodness of God." My friend, I want you to know, my friend, He puts that within us. And if you've been saved, there should be a thanksgiving there that transcends just getting all this material things that we have today. I bow my head at the table when we have Thanksgiving dinner. I look across. I see my youngest son. As after the prayer, he begins to eat. I don't know why it draws my attention to that. But I see how that God made his fingers. And how that God made his arms. And how that God, as he bends over and he begins to eat, I thank God that you have made us in a way that we can partake of your goodness and your bounty. And then I get to thinking, "Oh Lord, you have given unto me the heavenly manna. The manna that came down, my friend, that if any man eat of this manna, he shall never hunger again. Or if any man ever drink of this everlasting water, he shall never thirst again." God is good today. And I want you to know He is extending mercy today. He is extending grace today. He is extending unto each individual that's lost and unsaved, who've never been born again. Again, each day that passes somewhere in the world, He's giving them an opportunity to come unto Him and to ask for forgiveness and to ask and to seek for salvation. That's my God today. He's higher than the heavens. I want to tell you, sometimes I read things and I just love whenever that people will say, "Well, now we've discovered a new thing." I love that. I think to myself, "Brother, that was known to God before you were a twinkle in your father's eye. That was known to God from the beginning." Do you know today, in spite of the fact that Adam went and sinned against God and brought sin and death into the world, God already knew He already had a plan of salvation. He had a means by which that we could be reconciled unto God. He is full of all wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He is the Father of lights. It says over in that same chapter of James, it says, blessed be the Father. Now I'm not be able to quote it right now. I'm thinking of another verse of scripture that just kind of popped into my head. But at any rate, he's the Father of lights, with whom that there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. God's laws are still the same today as they were yesterday, and they will be forevermore. We can change our interpretation of it. We can change and say, well, now we're kind of enlightened, Lord. We really don't need you. My friend, it doesn't make any difference. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what about these discoveries that they make, that they have to refute their theories? God already knew about that and probably laughed at the folly of man that would say, this absolutely is the way that it's supposed to be. God probably laughed at the folly and said, you haven't discovered it yet, but come unto me. I am knowledge. I am wisdom. I am. Did you ever think about that? I am that I am. Whenever that Moses stood before that burning bush, God first of all declared who he was. I am he that was, I am he that is now, and I am he that ever forevermore shall be. It was only spoken a second time by his son. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. What's this have to do with thanksgiving? Thanks be unto God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible says over in the book of Hebrews, he says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want you to know his mercy is still from everlasting unto everlasting. He has all power. He has all glory. My friend, whenever that the Elohim, all three of them, and you will say, you mean all three of them were involved in the creation of man? I most certainly do, because it said, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. And he created man. I want to say this, when you came into the world, God also was present. God was also there. He is from everlasting unto everlasting. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You know, we talk about gates and we talk about doors and everything. But I'm thankful that we entered in, those that have been saved, to a gate that, for the most part, is very narrow and very straight. And we getting through that gate, let us thank him for that. Thank him for the fact that he saved us. Thank him for the fact that through the eye of a needle, we were able to enter in. And I know today sometimes we make salvation hard, and it sounds hard, but it's not hard for God to save today. It's hard for man to get himself in the place to where that he'll repent and believe. That's a commandment from the scriptures. That's what Paul preached. And my friend, sometimes it's hard for man to get to that place or to get to that point to where that he wants salvation more than anything in the world. I'm just amazed at how he saved me. I'm just amazed that he even did it. But you know, today we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and then we're to enter into his courts with praise. You know, whenever that you get caught up singing praises unto God, can you imagine what heaven is going to be like whenever that we all enter in there? Can you imagine today that we'll be singing the praises of God that will split eardrums, so to speak, as the Hebrew says. Can you imagine whenever that we get there, we'll sing a song that only we can sing, the angels cannot sing. That's true. And you got the song within your heart if you've been saved. You might say, well, no, I don't have the sheet music for it. You don't need sheet music. It'll come forth like that when you see Jesus. And whenever that you see the great God of heaven that made it possible that we could be here and that we could say that we know that we've been saved. Well, Brother Cofer, what's that song? It says over in the book of the Revelation that there was a number that no man could number. And they were singing praise unto God. And here's a little bit of their song. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to take that seven sealed book in your hand, because you have redeemed us unto God. You have been redeemed with the blessed, precious blood of Christ, not with silver and gold, not with any goodness that you could do, because we cannot do goodness in the sight of God. But we are redeemed, we are purchased by the precious blood of an eternal Savior. And you know, that's why you can't lose it. Because it's eternal. It's everlasting. If it wasn't, we'd have to have another one come and die upon the cross, go through the very same thing that Jesus went through. Then we'd probably lose it again. God would have to send another Savior. And how many Saviors is He going to send? Only one. Only one. And I want you to know today, my friend, He wants to be a Savior unto all mankind. Unto all mankind today. So what should I be thankful for today? Everything. If you've been saved, be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful that God redeemed you. Be thankful today for what you've received in abundance. Just a very, very simple piece of bread is a gift of God. You know, and whether it's caviar on a plate with a silver spoon, or whether it's sardines out of a can, my friend, it's a precious gift of God. And it's to be taken with all thanksgiving and all honor unto Him today. He supplies the sunshine. He supplies the ability to get up and to walk. He supplies the ability to hear, the ability to see, the ability. And you might say, well, what about those that don't have that? And they're infirm and so on and so forth. He still takes care of them. If He takes care of a sparrow that falls, He takes care of you. You are in His hands. They used to say in Allstate, you're in good hands when you're with Allstate. And that, I don't know if there's any insurance people here or not. But you know what? I got gospel news for them. You're in good hands when you're in the hands of God. Amen. God bless you is my prayer. Enter into His courts with thanksgiving and into His gates with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. And oh yes, let me just finish that up just a little bit here, because it also says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth unto all generations. God bless your prayer. God bless you, and I'm praying for you, and I'm lifting you up in prayer.